Good morning, Lee.
Tara.
Well, Nate Silver, pollster for the Democrat Party, very popular online voice, admits in a letter to those who pay him for polling services that the Democrat Party screwed up. What do you hear why?
Okay.
Why do you hear why? This is so much fun. He says their mistake was they shouldn't have censored the Joe Biden age and decrepitude story. Shouldn't have censored it. He admits, yeah, you know, I used to work for the New York Times, and isn't it crazy how the Democrat Party's chief liberal pollster used to work for the Democrat Times? Yeah. He says, I used to work for the Democrat Times, and you know, we're all liberal. There's almost no Republican reporters in any of these mainstream newsrooms, he admits. And he said, well, you know, those are our biases. So that's why we censored the Joe Biden age story for years, he says. And now it's blowing up in our face. Why? Because they can't hide it anymore.
I'm sensing
they cannot hide it anymore.
I'm sensing a pattern here. Criticisms that those of us on the right have of liberal progressive secularist are accurate. They are called false. They are denied for some time until they get to a point where it can no longer be denied, and then they are admitted to, but then you're criticized for pointing it out.
Right. And
that's the pattern.
Yes, and even blamed, because remember, yes, CNN did that whole article for their sheeple. Well, it's not our fault that we had to lie to you about Joe Biden's age. It's just that right-wing people who are very bad were saying, hey, Joe Biden's kind of decrepit, maybe can't seem to do his job. Yeah. And since they were saying it, we had to counter them. Okay, but you're reporters, though. Is it true? Well, but we have to counter them. No, that's not your job.
No, not at all.
That's not your job. Your job is whatever is the truth. Look, so here's something you notice on the show. I trash the mainstream media almost, like, well, daily, okay?
Maybe hourly.
Yeah, hourly, maybe by the minute. But you've never heard me trash the Daily Beast. You've never heard me trash Salon.com or Huffington Post. Why? Those are honest news organizations. They are liberal. They don't hide it. That's their bias. I got no problem with that. We make fun of them sometimes with silly things they say, but we don't call them fundamentally dishonest. We don't trash them, okay? This is a conservative talk show. This is a conservative talk station. We are conservative. That is the direction that we come from. We do not hide this. No one on this station hides this from you and tries to hoodoo you, tries to hose you into believing we are just, you know, straight up and up reporters bringing you real news. We are not. That is not what we do. What I do is, after the mainstream media gets through with the liberal talking points and lying to you, I come back with the other side that would have and should have been there had they been honest news outlets. Both sides, both opinions, no more lies through leaving critical details out in order to confuse your listeners. So look, my way of thinking, again, I got no problem with you if you're liberal and you say you're liberal and you say this is the liberal point of view. Cool, great, go for it. You won't have any criticism from me other than I'll probably laugh at your goofy ideas. But it's the fundamental dishonesty of these reporters. They paint themselves as unbiased. Just in the last couple of weeks, CNN threw a Trump spokesperson off the air live for, it turns out, accurately saying what the CNN reporter had said, which was that Trump, Hitler, Hitler, Trump, which, by the way, was a lie, too. They took something Trump said, twisted it, and then compared it to something Hitler said. Trump didn't actually say what they said he said. They had to parse together a couple things to make it sound like he did. So the thing we all resent is them pretending they're the legitimate news.
Yeah.
They're anything but liberal hacks, just like the guys at the Daily Beast, just like the Huffington Post. So you come in here, you walk in here. You know, occasionally I'll get a troll walk in here. You're only saying, yes, that's that's what we do. That's what we do here. That's what we do. I spend all of my time putting the facts back. It should be there. And look, I'm very grateful to the mainstream media for lying the way that they do and obfuscating the way that they do. Because think about it. I've thought about this many times. The talk radio industry, news talk, conservative talk, wouldn't exist if the mainstream media was honest.
Right. Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Rush Limbaugh would never have happened.
No.
If there was an honest mainstream media that did not have a liberal, left-wing, progressive bias and has had for decades, if maybe not a century.
And, you know, what Nate Silver is saying, this liberal pollster, is kind of profound. The left, and we keep talking about this here, they used to just lie and lie and lie on a loop, and that worked pretty good for them. Not always. The public didn't always buy it, but not always. Now they lie on a loop, and they demand that the other side be censored.
Exactly.
They used to engage in the debate pretty ferociously, actually, only from the left-wing point of view, the mainstream media, but they engaged in debate, right? Now they believe debate is beneath them.
Well, they used to defend the First Amendment, not want to ban it.
Yes. So where were we on this? Well, just a couple of weeks ago, we were told it was cheap fake. If, you know, what we were reporting, what we were showing was cheap fake. It was fake. It wasn't real. Because why? It's almost a form of laziness.
Yeah.
Want to engage in the debate? No, the other side should be silenced. Why? Because shut up. Because shut up. And this is the actual position of the Biden administration, whose FBI admitted now 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, excuse me, that they have returned to censorship everywhere but Twitter. They've returned to censorship. They are censoring. I guarantee you, we're going to find out that they censored the Biden age story. Why? They were commanded to by their commander. They were told to. We found out later they censored all the true information about COVID. That's why this country's broke. Had they not been censoring behind the scenes, we would have reopened. We would have known the truth about how it spread. We would have known 6 foot social distancing was bogus. There, ergo, all these businesses wouldn't have been shut down. We wouldn't have printed the checks to pay them to stay shut down.
People wouldn't have had to die in hospitals alone because of the incorrect attitude that you could not allow family members at an end of life situation.
They wouldn't have torn our families apart by telling us the COVID shot worked. We knew damn well from the beginning it didn't work. It was just censored. And so this is one of those rare instances of censorship biting the left in the butt. They could have replaced Biden in a primary. All these people we're talking about now running a blitz primary, they could have just run in the primary that we had, that they had.
Yep.
No problem. Easy peasy. No need to be running around now and doing all of this. But why? They are fundamentally dishonest, and they increasingly rely on this idea they have a right to censor their opposition, the other side, just because what? They're morally better?
Yeah.
I guess. It's a form of extreme laziness. No, we're not even going to engage in debate anymore. We're going to send the FBI to shut you down, which they did. It's extremely well documented. We're just going to lie and have the social media, which is now the main place people get their news, unfortunately, we'll just have them shut that down. Look, if you're one of the trolls wandering in here, because I'm getting a lot of following now on social media, you're really, really angry, I would challenge you to do two things. Read the UK Daily Mail every day. Go look at the US version of it. Just look at it. Look at it every day. Okay, they're outside America. They are liberal, but they like the hits and clicks.
Well, you actually get two sides of a story.
Read it. And they'll take the left side too. They do it all the time.
But they will also have accurate criticism of the left and the right.
Yes. It will change your life if you're a troll. Okay, start there. You may not be able to handle this show. And then kind of work up to it. Give me 6 weeks, okay? You can hear a lot of conservative stuff. You're liberal, you may not agree. Okay, cool. But you're gonna get actual facts that will challenge your worldview, because your worldview is fake. It's built on lies. You probably believe Trump had something to do with the Russians. He never did. You probably believe Trump took Russian money. He did not. But Joe Biden's family did, over $50 million via Rosemont Seneca. Do you know that? No, because your media lies to you and censors truth. Did you know Joe Biden's daughter says the reason she has sex addiction is because of the inappropriate showers her daddy took with her? The FBI raided the homes of the journalists who got a hold of that diary in order to deflect from what she wrote. The mainstream media still will not tell you what she wrote, only that the FBI went after the people who wrote that diary. Your president may be a pedophile. In fact, his own family believes he is. The nickname for him in their cell phone registries is Pedo Pete. Well, that'd be a scandal if it was anyone on the right. Did your media tell you that? No? Well, you need to listen to the show. Reality is a lot more complicated than what you're hearing on CNN. And the reason they want me censored is because increasingly the public does not believe them because of lies like this. All right. What Rumble was down this morning, so I wasn't able to load it. I apologize to those of you who are complaining. It's back up now, so I will load the show onto it. We'll be right back. Good morning. Okay, Rumble is back up at Tara Servatius. By the way, yesterday you demanded, I asked you to evangelize, spread the word about this show. Spread the word about WORD in our new listening area. We cover half of two states now, not just two counties. We cover half of South Carolina, half of North Carolina. From the Virginia state line, the western state line, all the way out to Charlotte. It's a massive area. So we couldn't possibly afford to advertise there to let people know we're there. We need to count on you. Need to help us, please. Help us let folks know they're there. We also go all the way to Columbia now. So if you have friends, if you have family in South Carolina, in North Carolina, let them know, would you? Would you tell four people? And by the way, if your friend or family's like in Wisconsin or somewhere else, you could tell them about the Battleground America podcast. You could stream us because we're just great talk radio. And a lot of you asked me, hey, Tara, well, okay, but I need a link for that. What do I do? Text keyword listen to the text line. You can always do that now. Listen, and we'll give you a link that you could easily share with your friends, your family. You could stream us right there. Help us spread the word. Because you are the only way that that is going to happen. So I just ask you to keep in the back of your mind, you know, when you're talking to somebody and they're like-minded, and maybe you're finding out, hey, I've got neighbors who are like-minded or coworkers who are like-minded. Think, hey, you know what? Let me just forward you this link on my phone. And again, you can get the link by texting keyword listen to the text line 71307. We'll send you that link. Make it really easy to listen. And by the way, if you're just, you know, driving around and you want to listen, that's an easy way to get us. Just text keyword listen anytime to the text line 71307. A lot of this came about. I gave a talk up in North Carolina, Hendersonville. Over 100 of you came out for that. It was really, really cool. I wasn't the only one speaking. It was at an event. And they were Republican activists up there. Right? So I figured, you know, I said, hey, how many of you listen to Word? You know, we're up here now. We're up in Hendersonville. We're up in Asheville, and we go all the way to the Virginia line in North Carolina. How many of you listen? I thought it'd be like 75%, 85%. It was 9 people. And I had a lot of people, after I gave the talk, chase me out. Wait, you're on what? What are you? Where are you? Where do I find you? Greenville? Wait, North Carolina? No, South Carolina. But we cover the whole area. So please help us evangelize. Again, text keyword listen to the text line 71307. You always get the link there. And again, you could use it yourself as well if you're just looking for a way to listen. Maybe you're on a business trip, you're on vacation down in Florida. Normally you'd listen in the car. It's there, right there, streams. So please, please check that out. Okay. Folks, I got to tell you that this liberal privilege thing in our society is real. The left tells us over and over, you have white privilege, you have male privilege, you have all of these privileges. But that's fake. Now, the only real privilege, and it's almost a superpower, we see examples of it every day, is liberal privilege. Let me just give you a small example of it. Boeing, which donates millions of dollars every political cycle, gives them at a rate of 77% to Democrats. Boeing just had to pay a fine of $236 million for defrauding the FAA and killing, you know, it was only 346 people. Wait, what? Boeing has to pay a fine of $236 million for defrauding the FAA and killing 346 people. Hey, give them the money they saved. That's a bargain right there. That is a bargain. $236 million fine. What? What do you mean they donate to Democrats? They're very helpful and very understanding. They're good members of the party. All right, how much was that Boeing fine? $236 million. Yeah, did you see the wheel go bouncing off the plane? Yeah, bounce right in the parking lot, crushing cars and stuff. Thank God nobody was in the way, but what would define a bet if they were anyway? What, less than $1 million per dead body? No big deal, because They have liberal privilege. What does it look like if you don't have liberal privilege, but you get fined for fraud? Trump had to pay a fine of $335 million, and he didn't kill anybody for defrauding no one in New York. And has to pay back every dollar, including interest, to the bank that lent him money. Wait, $335 million fine. Mm-hmm. For defrauding no one. Going to prison, potentially, we'll see when there's a sentencing. Going to prison, 34-time felon. For inappropriately making entries in his own accounting records. You used to have a check. You used to have a checkbook. Were you good at keeping, you know, hey, spent $15 for pet food? Or maybe you do that on an Excel sheet now, you put pet food. But it was really actually cereal. Well, who are those notes for? You? I mean, you're not reporting it to anyone, right? It's not for taxes. That's what he did. You realize that, right? That's what he did. Did anybody die? No. Did 346 people die? No. But Trump has the opposite of liberal privilege. Trump has the opposite of liberal privilege. See how this works? This is our system today. And of course, liberal privilege means you could be demented out of your mind, have a Parkinson's specialist visit you 8 times. It's right there in the White House visitor log. And the mainstream media will go la-di-da-di-da-di-da and make something up about Trump. That's liberal privilege. Did you see that press conference, by the way, yesterday? It was, you know, media gaggle with Karine Jean-Pierre, chief liar for the Biden administration. And they are heated, man. They are pounding their liberal fists, these pretend reporters who are actually activists. They are so mad, man. They're demanding an explanation of this. New York Times finally reported it. What was the first date that this specialist visited? It was March. What month is this? July. And it was right there in a visitor log, really? Huh. You think if a Parkinson's specialist was visiting Trump every month, you think? Or visiting the White House, I should say. They have a lie for why he was there. Do you think that wouldn't have been news? Do you think that wouldn't have been wall to wall to wall? Of course, you know the answer. Well, liberal privilege. Joe Biden has it. Liberal privilege has allowed Hunter Biden to take over $60 million from Chinese in arrests for doing nothing. And kind of, whoops, forget to report it on his taxes. Oopsie. Yeah, and forget to register as a foreign agent. They sent Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign manager, to prison for that. But, well, you know, Hunter Biden, liberal privilege. Look, he's a drug addict. He can't help it. You know how it goes if you've ever had an addicted member of your family. You know, starts off there. Smoke a pot, before you know it, they're doing meth. And then before you know it, the Chinese are giving them millions of dollars and they don't even know where it came from. They forgot to report it on their taxes. It could happen to anybody, no. No. But it is delightful this morning to report that Nate Silver, one of their luminaries, leading lights, former New York Times reporter, admits the left shouldn't have censored the Joe Biden is demented, is senile story. It is killing us right now. Yeah, it should. Stop censoring. Come back. Be an American. Have the debate. We're not gonna operate like it's Cuba. We're not gonna operate like it's North Korea, where we just censor anything that makes us look bad. It's just glorious that it's finally bitten them in the butt this one time. Anybody paying attention to what's going on in WNBA right now? This is the direction the country is going to go if the left notches any more cultural victories. We were told that Caitlin Clark just couldn't be on the Olympic team. Well, why not? Why not? Well, she didn't have the scoring numbers yet that the other WNBA players on the team had. Well, why was that? She hadn't played enough games. We were told that they couldn't have her on the Olympic team because her fans would be disappointed she wasn't going to get any playing time. or would get very little playing time. She just didn't have the numbers to justify a She's now, as a rookie, leading the WNBA in total points off scoring and assists, breaking record after record. Can we find a place for her on the Olympic team? Nope. You gotta love this. This is the most points scored or assisted on this season's board. And it flashed during the WNBA game. She happened to be playing it. Okay. So the initial excuse was, well, she didn't have the numbers yet. Well, but she just started playing. She shattered record after record after record after record after record. First player to ever reach 1,000 points in the time she did in college. Yeah, but this is the WNBA now. I mean, she doesn't have record. Oh, she does. Most points scored this season, 713. Number two, Sabrina Ionescu, 708. Whoa. So that's like more than the women on the Olympic team? Yeah. Now, if you're just tuning in here, wait a minute. Why isn't Kaylee, why wouldn't she be on the Olympic team? Well, there's several problems with her. She's white and straight and has not renounced either of those things. Here, I'll let somebody who's an expert in this and does a show on it, Clay Travis with Outkick, explain the problem, the hatred, the shame of it. By the way, she's also shattered viewing records. Most highest ratings ever for an ESPN women's college game. Second highest rating for a college game this last season, men or women's. She was number two that season finale. And she played it. It would be wonderful for women's sports. So what are they always complaining about? What's the left always complaining about? Well, no one's watches women's sports because the patriarchy and they're very, very biased. Well, now women want to watch. Now men want to watch. Everybody wants to watch. She sells out wherever she goes. No, she can't be seen. Why? She's not woke. She's not woke either. That's the thing. She won't say. Which is suspicious. She won't say. What do they want her to say? What could she say? Well, Los Angeles Sparks forward Connor Brink, another, it's very embarrassing, white straight woman in the NBA, WNBA, explained what is wrong with Caitlin Clark in a statement in which she said, young white players in the WNBA have privilege and must acknowledge it. Well, what is their privilege? The privilege we have in here. So this is her. She's apologizing for being heterosexual and white. Two things she cannot control. There is a privilege that we have inherently and the privilege of appearing feminine. Some of my teammates are more masculine. Some of my teammates go by they, them pronouns. I want to bring more acceptance to that and not just have people support us because of the way we look. In other words, I apologize for being white. I'm sorry I'm straight. God, I wish I could change it. It's so bad. I'm an oppressor. See, if Caitlin would just say that, if she would just say it and break, she could go to the Olympics. Celebrate it. Oh, take a knee. That'd do it. Tell us how you hate America again, Caitlin. But she won't do it. She won't break. Yeah, they'll probably eventually break her. Clay Travis with Outkick explained, this was before the Olympics debacle, but he could be explaining why she's not on the Olympic team.
All I will say is I told you this was coming. Caitlin Clark is white and straight in a league that is primarily minority and lesbian. I told you that this was going to be an issue, and lots of people tried to pretend that it wasn't going to be an issue, and they claimed that I was making stuff up. This was so self-evident going to be an issue, and it's already now exploded on an issue as an issue. Now you got everybody acknowledging it all over the place. The average WNBA player does not like Caitlin Clark because she is white, because she is straight and because now she is rich and getting a lot of attention.
Yep.
And there is a great deal.
So she's now currently leading the WNBA in total points from scoring and assists, not on the Olympic team. No, no, no. And now they're facing another crisis. She now, because of these stats, has to be considered as a candidate for MVP and Rookie of the Year. And she could have those things. She could have them if she would just speak for the party. As Orwell says, answer the party's command, you must affirm. All she's got to do is apologize for being straight and white. Say she wished she wasn't. Say she's an oppressor. Say she has privilege. All she's got to do, maybe take a knee, hate the country, say Trump sucks, that'd work. But she refuses to make a political statement, and they hate her for it. And they have beaten her for it. It got so bad earlier this season. The other players were beating her. Playtime ends, they shove her to the floor hard. Ref pretends not to see it. It got so bad, her coaches had a press conference demanding the ref start calling the beatings because they're fouls. Outrage peaked when her team lost a game had she gone through to the free throw line, which she had every right to do because she was fouled, except the ref pretended not to see it. Team lost by 1 point. Why? Because she's white and straight and refuses to renounce those things. Or to just make any kind of political comment, and I really wish she would just not make a political comment. None, I don't care. Don't tell me you like Trump. Don't tell me you're Republican. Don't tell me, I don't want to know. I just want to enjoy watching how good you are at playing basketball. I love that young women all over the country who aren't even into basketball are tuning into basketball to watch her because she's inspiring. I love to be inspired in a world filled with nothing but mediocrity that gets celebrated for ridiculous reasons and DEI and stupidity. But why am I bringing this up? I don't care about the WNBA. You don't either. Besides the fact that I'm inspired by this person. Because this right here is the model. This is the model. We say DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are seeing now all these companies with internal memos. Don't promote white males. Don't promote the most qualified. This is going on at airlines, by the way. Promote people who aren't qualified. We'll train them later. Maybe we can fix it. This is the model right here, the Caitlin Clark model. If you do not affirm, the only way you get to participate as a straight white man or woman, this is what they want. You're seeing it live right there, WNBA. You must kneel. You must affirm the left's ideology. You must be counted among the members of the party. Or you don't get to go to the Olympics. What do you think? They're going to give her the MVP? No, they're going to give it to somebody with crappier stats. That's what they're going to do. Somebody who you're like, who? Who is she? What? She did what? Who's that? That's coming. I'll report it. It's the model, folks, but it doesn't have to be. We can fight it. We can say no. Ha! I knew it would happen. And now it has. Gen Z has hit the tattoo regret stage of life. USA Today did a write-up on how the oldest Gen Zers are now pushing 30, hitting the stage of life where you start regretting tattoos. The oldest Gen Zers are in their late 20s now, so they're, you know, having that same realization we all eventually have. Maybe the decisions in your youth you made weren't so great. Tattoo regret, because so much of that generation is tattooed. And I would say badly. Badly tattooed. If your tattoo looks like somebody drew it on with a Sharpie, is it just me? This has been a thing with me for years. I see them walking around with these tattoos, right? I swear the quality of tattoos is so much better. Like, you know, a decade ago, a couple of decades ago. It's like they're getting the $89 special. They're so bad. I've seen some, you know, really nice looking tattoos. That, you know what? It's like adding a finger to your body, okay? You want to get a nice finger. You don't want to get it on. Anybody paying attention to what's going on in the WNBA right now? This is the direction the country is going to go if the left notches any more cultural victories. We were told that Caitlin Clark just couldn't be on the Olympic team. Well, why not? Why not? Well, she didn't have the scoring numbers yet that the other WNBA players on the team had. Well, why was that? She hadn't played enough games. We were told that they couldn't have her on the Olympic team because her fans would be disappointed she wasn't going to get any playing time or would get very little playing time. She just didn't have the numbers to justify a Wait, what? She's now, as a rookie, leading the WNBA in total points off scoring and assists, breaking record after record. Can we find a place for her on the Olympic team? Nope. You gotta love this. This is the most points scored or assisted on this season's board. And it flashed during the WNBA game. She happened to be playing it. Okay. So the initial excuse was, well, she didn't have the numbers yet. Well, but she just started playing. She shattered record after record after record after record after record. First player to ever reach 1,000 points in the time she did in college. Yeah, but this is the WNBA now. I mean, she doesn't have record. Oh, she does. Most points scored this season, 713. Number two, Sabrina Ionescu, 708. Whoa. So that's like more than the women on the Olympic team? Yeah. Now, if you're just tuning in here, wait a minute. Why isn't Kaylee, why wouldn't she be on the Olympic team? Well, there's several problems with her. She's white and straight and has not renounced either of those things. Here, I'll let somebody who's an expert in this and does a show on it, Clay Travis, with OutKick, explain the problem, the hatred, the shame of it. By the way, she's also shattered viewing records. Most highest ratings ever for an ESPN women's college game. Second highest rating for a college game this last season, men or women's. She was number two that season finale. And she played it. It would be wonderful for women's sports. So what are they always complaining about? What's the left always complaining about? Well, no one's watches women's sports because the patriarchy and they're very, very biased. Well, now women want to watch. Now men want to watch. Everybody wants to watch. She sells out wherever she goes. No, she can't be seen. Why? She's not woke. She's not woke either. That's the thing. She won't say, which is suspicious. She won't say. What do they want her to say? What could she say? Well, Los Angeles Sparks forward Connor Brink, another, it's very embarrassing, white straight woman in the NBA, WNBA, explained what is wrong with Caitlin Clark in a statement in which she said, young white players in the WNBA have privilege and must acknowledge it. Well, what is their privilege? The privilege we have in here, so this is her, she's apologizing for being heterosexual and white, two things she cannot control. There is a privilege that we have inherently and the privilege of appearing feminine. Some of my teammates are more masculine. Some of my teammates go by they, them pronouns. I want to bring more acceptance to that and not just have people support us because of the way we look. In other words, I apologize for being white. I'm sorry I'm straight. God, I wish I could change it. It's so bad. I'm an oppressor. See, if Caitlin would just say that, if she would just say it and break, she could go to the Olympics. Celebrate it. Oh, take a knee. That'd do it. Tell us how you hate America again, Caitlin. But she won't do it. She won't break. Yeah, they'll probably eventually break her. Clay Travis with OutKick explained. This was before the Olympics debacle, but he could be explaining why she's not on the Olympic team.
All I will say is I told you this was coming. Caitlin Clark is white and straight in a league that is primarily minority and lesbian. I told you that this was going to be an issue, and lots of people tried to pretend that it wasn't going to be an issue, and they claimed that I was making stuff up. This was so self-evident going to be an issue, and it's already now exploded on an issue as an issue. Now you got everybody acknowledging it all over the place. The average WNBA player does not like Caitlin Clark because she is white, because she is straight, and because now she is rich and getting a lot of attention.
Yep.
And there is a great deal.
So she's now currently leading the WNBA in total points from scoring and assists, not on the Olympic team. No, no, no. And now they're facing another crisis. She now, because of these stats, has to be considered as a candidate for MVP and Rookie of the Year. And she could have those things. She could have them if she would just speak for the party. As Orwell says, answer the party's command, you must affirm. All she's got to do is apologize for being straight and white. Say she wished she wasn't. Say she's an oppressor. Say she has privilege. All she's got to do, maybe take a knee, hate the country, say Trump sucks, that'd work. But she refuses to make a political statement, and they hate her for it. And they have beaten her for it. It got so bad earlier this season. The other players were beating her. Playtime ends, they shove her to the floor hard. Ref pretends not to see it. It got so bad, her coaches had a press conference demanding the ref start calling the beatings because they're fouls. Outrage peaked when her team lost a game had she gone through to the free throw line, which she had every right to do because she was fouled, except the ref pretended not to see it. Team lost by 1 point. Why? Because she's white and straight and refuses to renounce those things. Or to just make any kind of political comment, and I really wish she would just not make a political comment. None, I don't care. Don't tell me you like Trump. Don't tell me you're Republican. Don't tell me, I don't want to know. I just want to enjoy watching how good you are at playing basketball. I love that young women all over the country who aren't even into basketball are tuning into basketball to watch her because she's inspiring. I love to be inspired in a world filled with nothing but mediocrity that gets celebrated for ridiculous reasons and DEI and stupidity. But why am I bringing this up? I don't care about the WNBA. You don't either. Besides the fact that I'm inspired by this person. Because this right here is the model. This is the model. We say DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are seeing now all these companies with internal memos. Don't promote white males. Don't promote the most qualified. This is going on at airlines, by the way. Promote people who aren't qualified. We'll train them later. Maybe we can fix it. This is the model right here, the Caitlin Clark model. If you do not affirm, the only way you get to participate as a straight white man or woman, this is what they want. You're seeing it live right there, WNBA. You must kneel. You must affirm the left's ideology. You must be counted among the members of the party. Or you don't get to go to the Olympics. What do you think? They're going to give her the MVP? No, they're going to give it to somebody with crappier stats. That's what they're going to do. Somebody who you're like, who? Who is she? What? She did what? Who's that? That's coming. I'll report it. It's the model, folks, but it doesn't have to be. We can fight it. We can say no. Ha! I knew it would happen. And now it has. Gen Z has hit the tattoo regret stage of life. USA Today did a write-up on how the oldest Gen Zers are now pushing 30, hitting the stage of life where you start regretting tattoos. The oldest Gen Zers are in their late 20s now, so they're, you know, having that same realization we all eventually have. Maybe the decisions in your youth you made weren't so great. Tattoo regret, because so much of that generation is tattooed. And I would say badly. Badly tattooed. If your tattoo looks like somebody drew it on with a Sharpie, is it just me? This has been a thing with me for years. I see them walking around with these tattoos, right? I swear the quality of tattoos is so much better. Like, you know, a decade ago, a couple of decades ago. It's like they're getting the $89 special. They're so bad. I've seen some, you know, really nice looking tattoos. That, you know what? It's like adding a finger to your body, okay? You want to get a nice finger. You don't want to get it on sale. The tattoos these people get, I'm like, what were you thinking? And I'm starting to have conversations with my teenagers now about tattoos. And how, look, it's hard to explain now. 10 years from now, mentally, you feel like, you know, you're an adult. You're almost an adult. You feel like this is who I am. 10 years from now, you will be surprised how different of a person you will be. And 10 years from then, too. And it doesn't stop. So, you know, who you are at 30 is different from who you are at 40. And who you are at 40 is different from who you are at 50. You'd be shocked. Your hobbies will change. Your interests will change. Your passions will change. A lot changes. And that tattoo you thought was cool at 23, I'm here to tell you, is probably not going to be cool at 43, especially not if you get the $89 Bic Sharpie special. God, if you get a tattoo, get a better tattoo. And think about where you put it too, because look, Americans are fat, so everything sags now. Unless you plan to remain the same weight, like you should really pay attention to where it is on your body. You know what I've been telling my kids? I hope maybe some of them listen. I said, you know what you could do? In my generation, it was unusual to have a tattoo, right? It was edgy. Now everybody's got one, and most of them are pretty stupid, if you ask me. I'm like, really? That? You put that on your... But why? What was even the message there? What was it? And I said, you know what would be really cool? Be radically unmarked. When people are standing around at a party showing off their tattoos, say, I'm radically unmarked. My daughter's ears aren't even pierced. I was like, you know, you'll be the only one anybody ever meets that has no markings and no piercings. My daughter's ears aren't pierced just because in my family, we have metal allergies. I can't wear earrings. My mom can't. My sister can. I was like, don't even do it. All you'll do is have an infection for the rest of your life. So she doesn't have pierced ears. And that's a conversation piece. I say, say you're radically unmarked. I'm the only one here whose body isn't marked. That's my position. I'm radically unmarked. I'm a rebel. I hope it takes. My son seems receptive to the idea of don't get a tattoo. Just don't. Anyway, the article's about how so many of them have tattoo regret. You know why? They don't even think about it. They'll just go like, you know, go get it. Like you go pick up something at Walmart. That's kind of permanent, you know? And tell them that my husband, actually, I like my husband's tattoo because it's the Marine insignia from his time in the service. He's very proud of his time in the service, right? And my husband had these really big, gnarly muscles when I met him. And the tattoo was positioned really beautifully on the muscles. It was kind of hot, I have to tell you. Well, my husband still has nice muscles, but they're not the size they were when I met him when he was like 23, 24. And now that tattoo is like off to the side a little. It's not straightly positioned. So unless you intend to go full Iron Man and maintain the look that your body had at the age of 18, 19, 20, I'd consider remaining radically unmarked. It's a beautiful state of being, especially as you get older, fatter, and saggier. Ha! I knew it would happen. And now it has. Gen Z has hit the tattoo regret stage of life. USA Today did a write-up on how the oldest Gen Zers are now pushing 30, hitting the stage of life where you start regretting tattoos. The oldest Gen Zers are in their late 20s now, so they're, you know, having that same realization we all eventually have. Maybe the decisions in your youth you made weren't so great. Tattoo regret, because so much of that generation is tattooed. And I would say badly. Badly tattooed. If your tattoo looks like somebody drew it on with a Sharpie, is it just me? This has been a thing with me for years. I see them walking around with these tattoos, right? I swear the quality of tattoos is so much better. Like, you know, a decade ago, a couple of decades ago. It's like they're getting the $89 special. They're so bad. I've seen some, you know, really nice looking tattoos. That, you know what? It's like adding a finger to your body, okay? You want to get a nice finger. You don't want to get it on sale. The tattoos these people get, I'm like, what were you thinking? And I'm starting to have conversations with my teenagers now about tattoos And how, look, it's hard to explain now. 10 years from now, mentally, you feel like, you know, you're an adult. You're almost an adult. You feel like this is who I am. 10 years from now, you will be surprised how different of a person you will be. And 10 years from then, too. And it doesn't stop. So, you know, who you are at 30 is different from who you are at 40. And who you are at 40 is different from who you are at 50. You'd be shocked. Your hobbies will change. Your interests will change. Your passions will change. A lot changes. And that tattoo you thought was cool at 23, I'm here to tell you, is probably not going to be cool at 43, especially not if you get the $89 Bic Sharpie special. God, if you get a tattoo, get a better tattoo. And think about where you put it too, because look, Americans are fat, so everything sags now. Unless you plan to remain the same weight, like, you should really pay attention to where it is on your body. You know what I've been telling my kids? I hope maybe some of them listen. I said, you know what you could do? In my generation, it was unusual to have a tattoo, right? It was edgy. Now everybody's got one, and most of them are pretty stupid, if you ask me. I'm like, really? That? You put that on your... But why? What was even the message there? What was it? And I said, you know what would be really cool? Be radically unmarked. When people are standing around at a party showing off their tattoos, say, I'm radically unmarked. My daughter's ears aren't even pierced. I was like, you know, you'll be the only one anybody ever meets that has no markings and no piercings. My daughter's ears aren't pierced just because in my family, we have metal allergies. I can't wear earrings. My mom can't. My sister can. I was like, don't even do it. All you'll do is have an infection for the rest of your life. So she doesn't have pierced ears. And that's a conversation piece. I say, say you're radically unmarked. I'm the only one here whose body isn't marked. That's my position. I'm radically unmarked. I'm a rebel. I hope it takes. My son seems receptive to the idea of don't get a tattoo. Just don't. Anyway, the article is about how so many of them have tattoo regret. You know why? They don't even think about it. They'll just go, like, you know, go get it. Like you go pick up something at Walmart. That's kind of permanent, you know? And tell them that my husband, actually, I like my husband's tattoo because it's the Marine insignia from his time in the service. He's very proud of his time in the service, right? And my husband had these really big, gnarly muscles when I met him. And the tattoo was positioned really beautifully on the muscles. It was kind of hot, I have to tell you. Well, my husband still has nice muscles, but they're not the size they were when I met him when he was like 23, 24. And now that tattoo is like off to the side a little. It's not straightly positioned. So unless you intend to go full Iron Man and maintain the look that your body had at the age of 18, 19, 20, I'd consider remaining radically unmarked. It's a beautiful state of being, especially as you get older, fatter, and saggier.